Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the preview spotlight covering the May 2010 previews. These comics should start hitting stores sometime around July. Now, granted, if you're getting stuff from DC Direct or a few other things, those items may come a lot later, but in a lot of cases they have the expected shipping date in the previews catalog. Even though they claim to have trimmed it down, it's still 470 or so pages this time around, plus another 120 for the Marvel previews. So, as always, we're going to start at the beginning of previews, we're going to move towards the back. We are certainly not going page by page or item by item, because there's still 1,500, 2,000 items in previews, a lot of which are really great, really worth checking out. We're only going to hit the highlights. As always, we've got an open invitation for people to send in clips. Apparently this was a busy month for people, because we got a lot fewer clips than usual. I think we only got, about 14 or so?
Yep.
So, but still plenty of good clips and things to talk about there.
And I think part of it is that our deadline was on the day that Iron Man came out, Iron Man 2. So a lot of people were out watching movies instead of recording clips. So I noticed that most months people do create their clips like at the last minute, you know, like on the last day possible to get them in. And if they were out, you know, seeing Iron Man, and that would certainly prevent them from doing their clip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it makes it a little tighter for me to, you know, since the deadline was, as we record this, less than 10 hours ago, and I wanted to get as little sleep between then and now, a little tight to get the things prepped for stuff. But the reason we do clips from listeners is there's stuff that Bob and I are going to get that we're going to talk about because we really like, and our goal is to, you know, raise your awareness on certain things that you may have just missed in previews that we spotted. And we like to have that favor returned. There have been a lot of times where somebody will mention some comic that I just completely missed going through previews, and it's like, wow, that seems really cool. I should get that. And the whole point here is to help people find the comics they're going to enjoy. We do it at the preview stage versus when the books come out, because by then, in many cases, it's too late. If the store doesn't have it, they may not be able to get it. If you want the store to have it, pre-ordering and telling them, hey, I want this book that's in previews now, gives the store a chance to order it at really no risk to them if you know you're going to get it, and no risk to you because then you know the store is going to get it. So we're just trying to help, I don't say shore up the direct market or whatever, but, you know, help it work a bit more efficiently and just better.
And that's, you know, especially on these indie books, my understanding of the previews reorder policy is that they don't like to do reorders unless a certain threshold is met. So just because you asked for one copy of some indie book, you know, your store could call Diamond and say, I want this book. And unless there's some laying around in the warehouse, that's not necessarily going to get filled until, you know, X number of other stores also ask for a reorder on that book. And sometimes that X number of other stores does not ever happen.
Well, and one of the reasons it doesn't happen is, say you want a comic, you tell your store that. Store says, hey, I want it to Diamond. Diamond says, well, it's on back order. What that means is they're waiting for enough stores or enough orders to accumulate to place the order with the vendor. Because they can't place it with the publisher one off. It's just not, you know, economically viable. Your retailer then says, well, it's on back order. I may never get it, so I'm not going to place the order. I then go to my retailer, say, hey, I want that same thing. He goes through the same process. Oh, it's on back order. I'm not going to bother because I may never get it. So you may actually have potentially enough people wanting it, but not getting your retailers able to commit to Diamond. So Diamond, because of the way, you know, the back order process works, and the it's a 3% less discount on reorders in many cases, the system makes it harder to get those reorders into the system to the publisher, get those books back to Diamond and out to the stores, much less in a very timely manner. I mean, at one point, backorder stuff could routinely take 6 to 9 months to fill, if ever. And by the time it would come to the store, the customer may not even still be shopping there.
Yeah, or they could have gone and found it someplace else, and then the store is stuck with the book. So it's much better if you want books that are not the big Marvel, DC, you know, kind of things that stores are going to carry anyway. You really want to be telling your store about these things in advance. And again, that's why we try to talk about them when they're orderable.
So if when you go through the next previews, you see something that you think people really ought to be getting, record an MP3 clip, send it to us. We'll put it in the next episode. We have an open submission policy on that.
And we have also on the forum instructions on how to do an MP3 clip. It's really not that hard. There's free software available. All you really need to have is a microphone for your computer. And other than that, there should be no cost involved to you.
And if you have questions, you can, again, post on our forum, email us, and we'll help walk you through the process. Pretty easy, pretty painless, and again, if it turns me on to a comic I'd otherwise miss, I appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners do, too. So, starting us off, we're going to start with Dark Horse, as always. We're going to go, actually, with the first item in the book this month on page 24. That's Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom, number 1. This is being done by Jim Shooter, who did this stuff, this character, back with Valiant back in the 90s. And that was really one of the two books that put Valiant on the map for quite some time. This is a $3.50 book, but DCBS has it at a 75% discount. And it looks like it's going to be a fairly different take on Dr. Solar than Jim Shooter did last time around. But they've got two pages of you know, story here in previews on page 25 and 26, and it looks pretty good. I mean, Jim Shooter has, you know, a little bit of a notorious track record in history in terms of how he is as an editor to work with and stuff like that, but in terms of creativity and the universes he's launched, he's done quite a few. He's one of the people behind the New Universe, behind the Valiant Universe, Broadway, Defiant, I'm thinking one other also. I mean, he's done quite a bit. And, you know, I'm not going to say everyone's going to love everything he does by a long shot, but he certainly has some tenacity and some creativity there. And I'm curious about this. I'm certainly going to give it a shot.
The bad rap Shooter gets is mostly due to his editor-in-chief spin at Marvel, not necessarily as a writer and creator in his own right. And I've enjoyed his writing a lot over the years, as opposed to, you know, some of the editorial decisions he has made or is rumored or legend has it that he has made, which are, you know, kind of less popular.
Well, flip side, he did make a couple of good editorial decisions, because wasn't he one of the people that was instrumental in getting Kirby back some of his original art?
Yes, that's true.
Some of the creator rights stuff. So, certainly not all evil, even as an editor, but certainly a bit more of a controversial figure in that respect. But a lot of people have liked what he's done on the Legion of Superheroes and some of the other work he's done. Certainly Solar and Magnus at Valiant were some good stuff.
So our next book, if we flip forward in the Dark Horse section a couple more pages to page 33, we've got Fear Agent number 28, which is the beginning of the final Fear Agent story arc, Out of Step, which will be a 5-part arc. Rick Remender, who has gone to Marvel and is doing a lot of stuff at Marvel, is back doing his creator-owned series, Fear Agent. And I have read somewhere on the internet that they were holding off on this one until they had enough in the can on it that they would be able to put it out in relatively normal order without having huge delays throughout the issues. And hopefully that is, in fact, where we're at, since it has been over a year, I think, since the last issue of Fear Agent came out. So this, I think, will be the last creator-owned stuff we see from Remender for a while he's under contract with Marvel. So anyone who likes sci-fi and has read Fear Agent before will certainly be on board for this. If you've not read Fear Agent before, what you probably want to do is check out one of the many trade paperbacks that are out there and see, you know, what you think, you know, see what you think of the character, as opposed to, you know, waiting and getting monthlies, because there's plenty of trade paperbacks out there right now with stories of the character. But I like Fear Agent, and I'm certainly on board for picking this one up. Final Fear Agent arc.
And it looks like it'll be 32 full pages of comic book action in this 32-page comic. So we may actually get a bit more story than usual for the price of $3.50. Okay, next up, we got our first clip, and from one of our most reliable contributors, Damien. Let's listen to what he has to say this month.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick of the month, which is going to be from Dark Horse on page 47, and it's Star Wars Legacy number 50. Now, as not last month, I think, but the month before, we had the last issue of KOTOR, or Knights of the Old Republic. This is actually going to be the last issue of Legacy. So it's the last part of the Extremis three-parter, but this is where that comic is going to be ending. Now, out of all of the current Star Wars books, this has been my favorite, even though I've only been picking it up in trades. But to be honest, I always like the idea of Cade Skywalker and everything that's actually going on with him, and I'm really sad to see this one go. So I wanted to point it out to everybody just so you can see it or pick it up if you want. Cade is a awesome character. You know, he's one of the Skywalker legacy, but he's also a bit of a scoundrel himself. So he was actually a bounty hunter type. Self, who would smuggle or whatnot to get by, and he sort of got pulled back into the ways of the Jedi and sort of took his own path on that, sort of trying to step that balance between the light side and the dark side. So really, if you want to pick it up, I would recommend picking it up. It is the final issue there. Hey, you know, usually the last issues and the first issues are the hardest to find, so grab this one while you can. As always, it was written by John Ostrander, and he's written the entire series, and Jan DeSima, whose name I hope I didn't butcher, was basically worked on the whole thing as well. So they've been constants for the whole 50-issue run, which is really not heard of that much these days. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys, and, you know, I'll be back soon.
Damien does have a good point about last issues. I don't necessarily know why that is, but it always seems like it's really hard to find last issues on the back issue market. And when you do find them, they're typically priced higher than other issues of the run. And I don't know if it's because stores just decide to stop getting the comic when they know the last issue's coming. They stop on the second to the last issue, or people are hoarding up those last issues or whatever, but it's always a little harder to get those last issues, I've noticed, in my years of back issue collecting. So if you're a fan of this one, definitely make sure you pick up that last issue.
Okay, next up we got another clip. This one takes us into DC. Let's listen to that.
From page 68 of the previous catalog, my first selection of the month is the Green Lantern Corps number 50. This book is going to be written by Tony Bedard with art by Adrian Saif and Vicente Cifuentes. Blackest Night, I think most of us read it, enjoyed it. I was one of those people, and I give DC credit. They got my interest in their universe in a big way. This is their win. I was not reading this book before, but because of Blackest Night, I'm very interested in this part of the DC world. Characters I've never heard of, and only in passing with some of them. People such as Salak, Arissa, Isamat, Vath, Sora, Ganthet, which I'm familiar with, and Kilowog, which I've mostly only seen in cartoons. These are interesting characters, and Tony Bedard tends to write big ensemble cast in the space world or space environment very well. You may remember his work from Negation, CrossGen, which was wonderful, and he's currently doing Rebels at DC, which if you aren't reading, you ought to be. I think by working in this part of the world, he'll be able to expand DC's universe in the space much more. So this looks good. I'm not familiar with Cyborg Superman. He's an enduring character. He seems to stay around for a while, and he's back and apparently kicking butt in this one. I hope most of you will join me as this goes into Brightest Day. I think you're going to enjoy this book. I think I'm going to enjoy it, and I hope the guys at DC don't let me down. Now back to the guys.
I'm a big fan of the Green Lantern stuff. I've liked it for a long time. I've always liked Green Lantern, but especially in the context of the Blackest Night and you know, the issues that have come out since then. So I'm also looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I mean, just all the stuff they've been doing over in that section of the DC Universe, really the last couple of years, has just been great. Now, one of the other things around Brightest Day is on page 69, and that's the Atom Special number 1. DCBS has this at a 50% discount. And what they're going to do is they're going to be retelling his origin in this one-shot. And this one-shot's going to be leading into his adventures that are going to be over as a backup feature in Adventure Comics. And, I mean, I've been a big fan of the Atom for, I mean, decades. I loved the Power of the Atom series, the Sword of the Atom series before that. They've really done quite a bit with him in Blackest Night, kind of reasserting him as a really cool and powerful character in terms of just the importance to the DC Universe. And I'm looking forward to this as a opportunity for him to kind of step back into the spotlight and, you know, get some visibility. I mean, yes, all he does is shrink, but he's really cool when he does it. How about that, you know?
I think one of the things that's going to be really a selling point on this is Jeff Lemire is writing it. And you're not reading Sweet Tooth, but a lot of people are big fans of Sweet Tooth when he did the Nobody hardcover for Vertigo and also his creator-owned Essex County stuff. He's a very popular indie creator, and I think this will be his first kind of mainstream superhero work. So I think there's an amount of popularity that will go along with that. So anyone who didn't notice and is a fan of Jeff Lemire, this is something to check out. Next up, we're going to move forward a few pages to page 82, and we got Batman Streets of Gotham number 14. Now, this is one of the Batman books I had not previously been getting. I had just decided to skip the Streets of Gotham one, and this particular story arc is pulling me back in. It's the sequel to The Heart of Hush. We've got Tommy Elliott has been posing as Bruce Wayne, and he's planning his final murderous revenge on the Batman family, you know, including Dick Grayson, Selina Kyle, you know, Damian, just Bruce Wayne's extended network of family members. So Hush has been, you know, for the last several years around in the DCU and has been a kind of an insidious foil to Bruce Wayne Batman. And this particular storyline is one that I am interested in seeing what happens. So it's, again, it's enough to pull me into this title that I don't had not previously been getting. So looking forward to picking up Streets of Gotham starting with issue 14. Find out what Tommy Elliott's plot is.
Cool. I hope it's better than his last one where literally he removed Catwoman's heart. That was just a little over the top for me. I'm sorry. I mean, Hush is not a bad character, but, I mean, Catwoman bounced back so fast. I should be good, though. I've been enjoying Streets of Gotham. I don't think it's one of the strongest Batman books, but it's still pretty good. Now, our next pick is on page 85. It is Action Comics 891. And this very much is spinning out of Blackest Night in so much as in that Lex Luthor got a orange power ring and became an orange lantern for, you know, avarice and basically greed, which, gosh, you know, really kind of fits Lex. And he thought he knew what power was before. Now that he's had a taste of a power ring and what that can do, he wants more. He wants that back. So I think we're going to really see Lex Luthor unleashed, if you will. I mean, they've got this great cover with him in a, you know, almost a parallax-like, but orange, you know, energy armor suit kind of a thing. That's, again, like a cross between Parallax, Monarch, and Luthor's battle suit and stuff. And this just looks like a lot of fun. I mean, the whole concept, again, of Lex Luthor with a power ring is just a great story device. It's written by Paul Cornell, who's been doing some great stuff on Doctor Who, Captain Britain and MI-13, and a couple other things. It's a really strong stuff there. Art's by Pete Wood. And, you know, I just, between the creators, the concept, and stuff like that, this just looks like a really good storyline. And DCBS has it for a 50% discount. definitely one I'm looking forward to. Okay, our next pick is a clip from a listener. Let's listen to that.
My second pick of the month also comes from the DC section, page 87, Adventure Comics 516. Another book I'm terribly excited about is it's one of two books that are going to be printing Legion of Superhero stories. This one looks interesting because it's going back and it's going to retell Legion's origin again. This one's going to be done by Paul Levitz, and if you know Paul's work or history in the Legion, he at one time was the go-to man for writing the Legion. Hopefully he still will be, but for new readers, this might be a great place to jump on. The Legion history is somewhat convoluted, to say the least, and hopefully this will provide a good starting point for folks. Another reason to be excited about this book is it has a co-feature in it, and I know a lot of people are hot and cold on co-features, but this co-feature stars the Atom, Ray Palmer. Recent portrayals of Ray Palmer have left him as a very interesting character. He's very insightful, thoughtful, scientific, and somewhat heroic, too. This is being written by Jeff Lemire, who's currently writing Sweet Tooth, and some people may know from, I believe it was The Country Nurse he wrote. The art is by Kevin Sharp and Wayne Faucher, I believe it is, with a co-feature art by Mahmoud Assar. Mahmoud Assar's art I've seen constantly on Dynamo 5, which is beautiful, and looking online at Kevin Sharp's work, he looks like he can do some pretty cool things in the space world. Please, join me. Adventure Comics is going back to 516. You got Paul Levitz, you got good art, you got spaces, you got little miniature guys. It's all good. Now back to the guys.
So are they getting rid of the dual numbering sort of a thing they've been doing?
Yes, that's the idea here. They are going to just the classic numbering with this issue.
Got it. That makes sense. I always hate it when they do dual numbering, but I've been, you know, enjoying Adventure Comics.
Maybe they'll stop doing a variant cover for every single issue now too.
That would be nice too. Or maybe they'll only do the variant cover since they were doing it with the old numbered. Our next pick is on page 97. It's Wonder Woman 601. This is written by J. Michael Straczynski. We've got art by Don Kramer and Michael Babinski. And this is starting a new kind of era for Wonder Woman, spinning out of whatever happens in Wonder Woman 600. And the big mystery here is who destroyed Paradise Island, which I feel like adding yet again. I'm looking forward to this. I think Straczynski, for me, has a mixed track record on comics. Some of it's been really good, some of it not so much. I think putting him on Superman and Wonder Woman concurrently is a big move for DC, potentially a risky one, but could very well pan out. I think he's got the right kind of sensibility to make for a very interesting and good writer for Wonder Woman. And I want to see where he goes with the mythology and kind of what spin he puts on Wonder Woman. So, you know, it should be very interesting. DCBS has this at a 50% discount. It looks like a very good jumping on point for people who want to give Wonder Woman a try. Okay, taking us into Johnny DC is this clip. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my second pick for the month, which is on page 105 and is in the Johnny DC section, which is Super Friends number 29. Now this one's written by Sholly Fish, art by Stuart McKenney and Dan Davis, and cover by Jay Bone. As always, this is one, actually I'm amazed they've kept it around for as long as it is, but I've actually been a big fan of this series. I've been getting it from my son, and he's just been enjoying it, especially when he finds the artwork's done by Stuart. Since, you know, he's met him, and he always likes looking at his art, and he takes extra care when he gets the ones that actually, if I point out, this one was drawn by Stuart, so he knows who he is. This one is actually revolving around the Super Friends going to a convention, since it's in the height of the convention season over there in the States when it comes out, and the imps are coming. So, from what we can see on there, you've got Batmite, you've got Mr. Mixlipidlick. It's got interesting to see what happens in this situation. So, yeah, pick it up. It's actually a fun read, so I'll let you go back to the guys.
Yeah, I think that Johnny DC does a good job of doing fun comics for the kids, so I can see Damien getting that for his kids. And next we're going to move into Wildstorm with X-Files 30 Days of Night number 1. We got Steve Niles and Adam Jones writing with art by Tom Mandrake. I have always been a fan of Steve Niles' work, and I personally am a big fan of 30 Days a Night franchise, and I watched the X-Files show when it was on TV, so, you know, two great franchises taste great together. Let's mash them up like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and get X-Files 30 Days a Night. And I also liked Tom Mandrake's art. I think particularly he did a big run on the Spectre, didn't he, John?
Yes, he did. He did.
Yeah, so, you know, basically we've got evidence in a possible cannibal killer case in Wainwright, Alaska, draws the attention of FBI agents Mulder and Scully. And off they go, and it's just as the long seasonal darkness is about to fall up in northern Alaska, and merriment ensues with the 30 Days of Night vampires. So be interested to see how Mulder and Scully fare against those. So coming in July, and six-issue series.
Cool. Okay, taking us into Vertigo is Damien with this clip.
Hey, it's Damien back again with my next pick for the month, which is on page 120, which is American Vampire Volume 1 hardcover. Now, this I picked up the first issue with, and just to see what it was like, and actually it's a really interesting looking book. It's sort of set in the 20s, but it's actually got like two concurrent stories going on. So you've got one in the 20s actually showing this vampire and, you know, going into the vampire parties and things like that, or people that influence Hollywood are actually all under the spell, or, you know, basically food for the vampires. And you've then got the actual, you know, creation of this one vampire. Now, I've only read the first issue of it. I'm waiting to see what happens next. But as you actually notice on page 120, they've got the hardcover coming out, which is actually the first five issues. And on page 121, they've actually got issue five coming out. So you actually have, what is it, on July 25 coming out, but you could also hold off and wait until, well, this one's actually going to be September for this one, to get the first hardcover. So they're doing an early solicitation for it. I was actually thinking it was actually going to be July 29th, but I was wrong there. So, interesting story. I like the idea of this one. The hardcover is going to be $24.99, and it's coming out from Vertigo, so it is a mature reader's book. It's going to be interesting, so you might want to check it out. Okay, I'll let you get back to Bob and John.
I'm surprised they're doing an early solicit for American Vampires hardcover. With it coming out in September, I would have waited at least until the next previews, possibly the one after.
Yeah, it's, you know, 2 months early on the hardcover is kind of interesting, although I'm glad to see that, because, you know, when you first see the, you know, just like Damien did, you see the hardcover and number five solicited, like, right next to each other in the catalog, you're like, wow, is that hardcover going to come out concurrent with number five? It's just another reason not to buy the monthly issues, but, you know, then you look and see the dates, and it's coming out actually about 2 months later. Maybe they just want to really get a feeling for the trade paperback, or the collection, really, since this is a hardcover, get the feeling for how many people are going to be buying this in collected form versus the monthlies. You know, we've talked about that before.
You're right.
On how you have the, you know,
they may need that information sooner rather than later to determine how much longer that book goes. Or it could just be a matter of maybe they're printing this overseas and it's going to take longer to ship it to the U.S. So it may just have a longer printing time. So a couple of different possibilities there. I would have solicited the collected edition after the final issue it's being collecting, you know, but that's just
me. That's true. Next up, we're going to move into IDW, second month at the front of the catalog. I'm still not used to hitting them before I hit the image section, but I'll get used to it. On page 151, we've got Richard Starks Parker, The Man with the Getaway Face, A Prelude to the Outfit. Very long title for a very normal-sized 24-page comic. It is a little oversized, though. This is 8 by 12 inches, which is kind of interesting because the Parker The Hunter hardcover that came out from IDW is actually smaller than a normal comic, and I'm assuming that when the outfit comes out, it will also be the same size as the Hunter was. But this is a preview of the first chapter of the outfit. I actually picked this physical book up when I was at WonderCon at the IDW booth for $2, and it's, if you liked the Hunter, you're going to like this. It's beautiful. It's Darwin Cook. It's really nicely done. A good story. So if you want a preview of the next hardcover that's going to be coming out with Richard Starks Parker, this is the way to get it. It's only $2. You're going to get a 50% discount if you're buying through DCBS, so it's only $1. So good way to try out the character, too. You can get this for $1, and if you like it, then you can go back and you can buy the first hardcover, The Hunter.
Cool. Moving now into Image, our first pick there with a 50% discount through DCBS is Fractured Fables Hardcover. This is 160 pages of full-color stuff for $29.99, so that 50% discount will help. And this is just a bunch of kid-friendly fables with kind of new twists and spins on them, covering everything from Little Red Riding Hood, Rumpelstiltskin, Cinderella, you know, on up and down. It's got a wide variety of art styles and storytelling styles. And I think for people who are into kind of, you know, the more indie, less Marvel mainstream, you know, Marvel DC mainstream type stuff, and just looking for something different, this looks like it'll definitely fit the bill there. They've got stuff by Ben Templesmith, Brian Talbot, Jill Thompson, Peter David's doing a story in here, Terry Moore, Shannon Wheeler, Ted McKeever, Jim Valentino, Phil Hester. I mean, they've got a lot of really good creators on this.
Yeah, it is like a who's who of creators in this, and I think it's going to be really great if you got kids. This is a very kid-friendly book. So $29.99, it's 160 pages, 50% discount through DCBS, so you'll be able to get it for $15. Next up, Walking Dead has made it to issue 75. Invincible has also made it to issue 75. But we're going to talk about The Walking Dead. 40-page issue, $4.99. And the real interesting thing about this is for the first time in The Walking Dead, we're going to have a backup story drawn by Ryan Ottley in full color. So that'll be the first time we've gotten color Walking Dead, other than the covers of the comic books, which are, of course, color. But, you know, we're going to see a color story. So I'm looking forward to it. This is, you know, we've talked about it before. This is the total top of the stack book for me. Anytime I get a DCBS shipment that Walking Dead's in it, that is the absolute very first comic I read out of the box. And, you know, the number of books I read, that is saying a lot. I think that I'm always going to gravitate to this one first. So if you haven't checked it out, it has zombies, but it's not primarily a zombie book. It's about the people.
Yeah, it's a tale of survival that just happens to take place in a zombie world. So this is really what Kirkman is going to be best known for, unless he comes up with something that just knocks everybody's socks off even more than this has. And, you know, hopefully someday he will, but really he's doing stuff here that really nobody else is doing. I mean, how many titles from even Marvel and DC for that matter, but how many titles these days go to 75? Here he's got both Walking Dead and Invincible. I mean, he's doing some stuff that's really clicking with the readers. So if you haven't checked it out, either maybe pick this up or pick up the first trade and see what you think. Okay, next up we got a clip from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien from LordShaper.com back again with my next pick for the month, which is in the image section on page 176, which is Dawn, Do Not Touch the Earth. It's a one-shot story by Joseph Michael Linzer, the art's by the same person, Joseph Michael Linzer and Eva Hopkins, and the cover's by Joseph as well. Now, this is going to be 48 pages, $5.99. To be honest, I've loved his work since I first saw it 20 years ago when it started coming out, and this year is actually going to be the 20th anniversary of, you know, Dawn coming out in print, so what can be wrong with that? Basically, if you haven't read Dawn before, it's really the whole goddess mythology where you have Dawn, who's the goddess, that she gets reborn through different ways, and he's actually taken it and explored different paths where her and her king have sort of had to find each other. Her king's actually Darien, and Darien's actually going to be a knight who... after her rescue, Dawn takes Darien to a fairy realm, so she's the fairy queen taking on that, so it's the whole Titania, Oberon type thing going on there. You've got the horned god thrown in there as always as well, so it's a very good read. I've always loved his artwork. It's probably some of the best art I've, you know, but always pick out his art whenever you see it. You can always tell if it's that. You can see him on covers for Red Sonja. I can always pick out where his art's coming from. So if you are interested or want to give it a shot, this is actually only a one-shot, and it is the 20th anniversary, so why not pick it up? Page 176, and I'll let you go back to the guys.
I have also been a longtime fan of Linzner's Dawn character. This is actually a resolicit, so you may have ordered this previously or thought you ordered it. Those orders are canceled, and you need to reorder it if you want to get this book. So just be aware of that.
Okay, jumping into the Top Cal section of the image previews with a 75% discount is Artifacts number 1 of 13. This is a $3.99 cover price, but again, 75% off. You can get it for under a buck through DCBS. This is written by Ron Mars, and they bill this as the event 5 years in the making. Don't let that scare you off. I picked up the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box, read the first Broken Trinity miniseries by Ron Mars, and I've really been getting into the Top Cow universe. I think the work he's doing over there is really good. Everything from Magdalena to the Broken Trinity first issues, all of these have really good introductions, setting of the scene, and good first issues. I'm expecting Artifacts number 1 to be the exact same, where even if you're coming in cold, you should be able to jump in with no problem and enjoy the story. They say that Artifacts number 1 is the perfect place for faithful readers to see their loyalty pay off and new readers to experience the Top Cow universe. And again, from what I've been reading out of Ron Mars at Top Cow, I completely believe that. This is basically the gist is there are 13 mystical artifacts, including the Witch Blade, the Darkness, and some others that we've seen in some of the other books. And legend is, if you bring them all together, that's pretty much going to spell Armageddon and doom the planet. And somebody's kind of manipulating things to kind of make that happen. And it says here that what ensues will remake the entirety of the Top Cow universe. And I don't know if they mean that metaphorically or literally, and maybe this is a, I don't want to say a rebooting event or whatever, but the possibilities here I think are pretty endless. And from what I've been seeing, if this is indeed their kind of, you know, epic event, you know, their equivalent of you know, a Civil War or Secret Invasion or Blackest Night or whatever, in terms of pulling all their stuff together and doing a cool story, from what I've seen in the Top Cow stuff by Ron Mars, again, it'll be accessible, it'll be good, it'll have payoff. The art they've had in the books I've read has been phenomenal. The more I read of the Top Cow stuff, particularly by Ron Mars, but also by a lot of the other creators, the more I'm enjoying it. So this is something I definitely recommend. Yes, it's a 13-issue series, but I fully expect not only will they complete it on a timely basis, but it'll be enjoyable for the entire ride. So definitely something I think is worth checking out. And again,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to say, 75% discount. I mean, hard to go wrong with that.
Right. And I, you know, on the strength of what Ron Mars has been doing over at Top Cow, I'm pretty much getting all the Top Cow books at this point.
Yeah, actually, so. I think every new thing they've got this month from Top Cow, from Artifacts, Broken Trinity, Pandora's Box, Magdalena, Witchblade, Velocity, I'm getting all that too. And I don't think I was getting much of anything from Top Cow prior to dipping my toe in the water.
So. Yep.
Okay, we're going to jump over into the Marvel previews. Starting us off over there is a clip from Trevor. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman from Brampton, Ontario, Canada, sometimes co-host of the Monarchs Comic Briefing, and for my previews picks for those comics that will be shipping in and around July of 2010. My first pick is Lady Deadpool number 1, written by Mary H.K. Choi, penciled by Ken Lashley, covered by Greg Land. It's a 32-page one-shot for $3.99. What interests me about this is that I've really been enjoying all the Deadpool and Deadpool tie-ins, and as we know from various solicits, the Deadpool Corps, where Deadpool goes out and grabs Deadpool members from other realities. One of those said realities is Lady Deadpool, a female version of Wade Wilson by the name of Wanda. And what's interesting about this is, as part of the whole Heroes initiative that is going on in Marvel, where they're celebrating women in comic books, apparently they've decided to celebrate a female version of Deadpool. I'm interested to see how entertaining this will be, especially considering being written by a woman. I wonder exactly what a woman's take is on a dolled-up female psychopath. Anyways, I'll talk to you later.
You're not getting that, are you?
No.
But they have so many Deadpool titles to choose from. I think they're milking that a little too much and just coming out with too much stuff. But, you know, hey, people are buying it. Actually, I'm getting most of it and enjoying a lot of it. I'm just surprised by how much they're doing. Okay, moving over into the Ultimate Comics line. We got another clip from Trevor. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again, and for my second pick, again, you'll have to go to the Marvel Previews insert on page 21. Ultimate Comics Mystery, number 1 of 4, written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils by Rafa Sandoval, with a cover by J. Scott Campbell. It's a 40-page, obviously, 4-issue limited series for $3.99. This spins out of the recent Marvel Comics Enemy. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but Marvel Comics Enemy is the first in a three limited series. The second one now being Ultimate Comics Mystery. Basically dealing with the survivors from the Ultimatum, but more having to do with the Spidey and Avengers side, a bit of Fantastic Four, and some enemy who's decided to do something. Having not read the fourth issue, I don't know what the intent of the enemy is, and that is what this picks off of, is once we determine what that intent is, the mystery is finding out, I guess, who the actual enemy is and how to stop them. I've been enjoying it. Brian Michael Bendis has been making it entertaining, showing lots of different aspects of the Ultimate Universe, and if it's anything like his Ultimate Galactus trilogy, I will definitely enjoy it.
I thought the point of Ultimate Comics Enemy was to reveal who the enemy was. Silly me.
But that does, because it says here, now that the enemy has been now that the enemy has revealed his plan, now they search. Well, I guess they don't, so. Yeah.
That's my point. They do have a habit of a series of miniseries over in the Ultimate Comics line. And, I mean, it's good stuff. It's entertaining. But it'd be nice to not have to read one miniseries to set up a second to go read the third.
It's just they're gaming the way that shops order comics is all they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is essentially, it's a 12-issue miniseries. But they know that they would sell less copies if they went number 1 through number 12 because there's attrition issue over issue. So they break it into, you know, three, four issue miniseries. I mean, ultimately, they'll get to the point where it's 12 one-shots, you know, so they're all number ones.
But the advantage to both of those approaches is that gives them a little fudge factor if they need to pause for a month or two between miniseries.
Yeah.
It also, again, is making up for the fact that not all creators can get stuff out on a timely basis. Just kind of funny.
Next up, on page 25, we've got Amazing Spider-Man number 638. This is, if you've seen any of the cryptic ads in Marvel Comics with the word omit, O-M-I-T, on a black background. That is this storyline. Omit is one moment in time. And this is maybe usefully, maybe why bother, but we're going back a couple of years and we're spinning back to the Brand New Day storyline where Spider-Man and Mary Jane decided to nullify their wedding with Mephisto in order to save Aunt May's life. That went down like a pretty bitter pill indeed with a lot of fans. And I don't, you know, well, we're going to be, now that a lot of people have put it behind them, we're going to be picking at that wound. So we'll see if this is a good idea or not. But I'm willing to see Quesada's, you know, throwing himself in front of that train. Let's see if he stops that train like Spider-Man did in the movies, or if it mows him down like most other times when a train has hit somebody in a movie. So we've got the first part of that. We're going to see how One More Day affected the Marvel Universe and, you know, how Aunt May was actually saved and all this kind of stuff. But it's going back, and we're going to see some expansion of that storyline. And I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll pick it up too. I'm curious. So, our next pick is on page 35 of the Marvel Previews. It's Avengers The Children's Crusade, 1 of 9. It is a $3.99 comic with only 32 pages, but we do have a 50% discount through DCBS. This is basically the return of the Young Avengers. It's going to be, they claim, a self-contained maxi-series that reintroduces and redefines the Young Avengers and Scarlet Witch for kind of the post-Dark Reign era of the Marvel Universe. It's written by Alan Heinberg, pencils by Jim Chung. These are the guys who brought us the Young Avengers to begin with. I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be a bi-monthly series, so yes, it may take a year and a half to finish, but they should be able to get it out on a regular basis and keep up the quality, so I'm good with that. And really, these are some fun characters that I think have been kind of away from the spotlight for a little too long. They've shown up here and there, a couple of miniseries and stuff like that, but really they had a strong start with the original Young Avengers title and just haven't had their own book, you know, on an ongoing basis for a while. So hopefully this 9-issue maxi-series will reset the stage for them, garner a lot of interest, and we'll get a lot more of them over time. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be pretty good. Okay, next up, we got another clip. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again, and for my third pick, again, we're going to have to go to the Marvel's comic insert and go to page 41 for Death of Dracula. Number one, one-shot, 48 pages for $3.99, written by Victor Gershler and penciled by Giuseppe Camuncoli. I've really enjoyed over the years all of the horror that has been done in Marvel, so from the original Tomb of Dracula and Frankenstein Monster and Werewolf by Night, through the recent Max series of Dead of Night. The series with Werewolf by Night in a modern telling, and Devil Slayer, and Man-Thing. So I'm hoping that this is going to continue on in that same vein, and it's going to be a good one-shot talking about, in this case, who would actually overthrow Dracula? Well, his son Zaris probably would be a good guess. Now, my only concern is with the recent X-Men solicits and the fact that it's X-Men versus vampires, I'm hoping that this is an actual standalone comic and having little or nothing to do with that series, or hopefully just tangentially. Anyways, I'll be back.
Based on those X-Men solicits, again, the mutants versus vampires, my expectation, and perhaps completely incorrectly so, but what I'm expecting is this Death of Dracula will be pretty much a one-shot standalone that sets the stage for what's going to happen in the X-Men stuff. But really, I wish they'd been a little clearer in the way they solicited kind of both books, because I suspect many people may skip over this Death of Dracula issue that are going to get that X-Men number one and then gonna want to, you know, what happened, know what happened here and just be confused. And it has the potential of frustrating a lot of people, and hopefully that won't happen. So, next up on page 57 is our next pick with a 50% discount through DCBS, and that is Steve Rogers, Super Soldier. Steve Rogers is back. He's been reborn, but he's decided to let Bucky continue being Captain America, so he's got to be somebody. And it makes sense for him to be a Super Soldier because, hey, that's what he is. This is written by Ed Brubaker, penciled by Dale Eaglesham, cover by Carlos Pacheco. Great combination of creators right there. I'm a huge Captain America fan, and for me, that's Steve Rogers. I'm okay with somebody else being in the suit. I think Bucky's doing a great job. I'm loving that book, but I'm glad to see Steve Rogers getting his own title. And it looks like he's also going to be leading the Secret Avengers, and you know, who knows, give him a few minutes, he might start leading the X-Men too. Jeez. But Brubaker's a good pick for this. I'm very much looking forward to the series and seeing where they go with it.
And next up, we're going to jump forward to page 73 in the Marvel catalog. Now, what we've got here is X-Women number one. And this is a one-shot. It's 64 pages. It's written by Chris Claremont, but the real draw for me is the art is by Milo Manara. I don't know if everyone or anyone is familiar with Milo Manara. He is an Italian artist, and he is basically a superstar in Italy and Italian comics. He's been doing comics for at least 20 or 30 years over there. And this was actually a one-shot album that was done in Italy already in black and white and in Italian. And they're now bringing this to America, and it is in English, and it is in color for the first time. So Milo Manara, you just look at page 73 of the Marvel catalog here, and you can see what Manara's art looks like. You can also, if you do a search on X-Men or X-Women plus Manara, you can find black and white and color pages from this all over on the internet. It's very beautiful, in my opinion, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this one pretty much exclusively on the strength of Milo Manara's art, and is, to my knowledge, the first superhero art that Manara has ever done, at least of American superheroes. So there you have it. That is why I'm getting that one.
Looks good. I'll be picking that one up too. Rounding out our picks from the Marvel previews is on page 93. It's the Realm of Kings hardcover. This is $39.99. It's got a 50% discount. It is an oversized hardcover. And it contains, I believe, 15 comics. It's got the Realm of Kings one-shot, Realm of Kings Inhuman 1 through 5, Realm of Kings Son of Hulk 1 through 4, and Realm of Kings Imperial Guard 1 through 5. And this is the post-War of Kings saga for the cosmic corner of the Marvel Universe. This is all written by Abnett Lanning and Scott Reed. And really, Abnett and Lanning are just doing some great work over in that section of the Marvel Universe. The art, a couple of different styles through the different books and stuff, but really what they're doing, particularly with the Inhumans, has just been really fun, strong, good stuff. It was a really interesting look into the Imperial Guard also in that miniseries. And I don't think they finished the Son of the Hulk one yet, but that one's been kind of cool too for people who've been following the Bat series out of the Planet Hulk storyline. So, I mean, really, 15 comics for $39.99 in hardcovers, not a bad deal. 50% off makes it twice as good of a deal. So, definitely worth checking out.
Okay. Next, we're going to be diving out of the Premier Publishers and into the everyone else part of previews. Now, like, editorial comment here, and that is, if you only look at Marvel and DC, or even if you only look at the five premier publishers, you're missing a lot of really great comics. There is some superb stuff being done by people outside of the main part of the previews catalog. So going back and checking out some of these series that are going on in the back half of previews is well worth your while. And if you can try out, you know, even one book a month from the back half of previews, that sounds interesting. I think it would really, you know, expand your readership over time.
Well,
so,
not only would it do that, it would expand the industry over time, because the back half of previews in terms of comic book sales usually accounts for less than 10% of the overall sales for the top 300 comics. And that's including Boom, Dynamite, up until, well, actually even now still, IDW, because the numbers with them having flipped to the front half haven't come out yet, and some other kind of known publishers and stuff. But anyone who's not finding stuff that they really love and are wanting to be reading and are not looking at the back half of previews is really doing themselves a huge, huge disservice. There's a lot of stuff here, a lot of creators, a lot of comics, that if people would just take a chance on and give a shot, would really enjoy. And the one you're about to talk about is one that, you know, if I hadn't flipped through previews, I wouldn't have known about, although I'm sure you would have told me. And it looks like one that is totally up my alley and exactly the sort of book that I'd love to read. So.
Right. And that book is from Big Dog Inc. It's on page 247 of the previews catalog. It's called Critter. And it is an alternate take on Supernut. Really, all, I mean, it's just not a Marvel and DC superhero, but it's a superhero book. It's got a female lead, a strong female lead, and she's a legacy. Her mom was a superhero, and now she's going to be a superhero. She's got the kind of enhanced strength, stamina, speed suite of powers. There's a little bigger picture on page 230 of Critter. There's also a link in our show notes to a website that you can see some black and white pages from the book, and see what's going on here. I'm also doing an interview with the creator, Tom Hutchinson, and that will be in the Friday interviews episode that'll be coming out soon. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, it'll be out in a couple of days. If you're not listening to this right away, it's already out. So just go to the website, comicbookpage.com, and look at the archives that we've got there of episodes. But you know, the thing I liked about this one is, while it's an alternate take on superheroes, the art's beautiful in it. I actually, you know, John's like, well, if we wouldn't have seen it in previews, we wouldn't have known about it. You know, it's easy to skip over and miss various things. And I really hit it because I was talking to Tom Hutchinson at the Long Beach Comic Con. You know, I actually saw him there, and he was showing me The Penny for Your Soul, which he did, and I've talked about that before. And then this is another one, and when I saw him at the Anaheim Comic Con, I actually picked up this one shot that's being solicited here from him. It's already done. It will ship on time because the books are done. And I actually have this comic, and it's beautiful. I mean, the art in it will stand up to anything you'd see coming out from Marvel or DC. It's really nice one shot, and it introduces the character Critter that Tom came up with many years ago when he was in school and has been kicking around in his head since then. Listen to the interview. I don't want to spoil any of the, you know, he tells some cool story about that and about the art. And, you know, like I said, well worth your trouble to pick this book up. And if you're looking for, you know, something else on that same page, you know, also written by Tom is The Penny for Your Soul, number 2, another series that I've read the first issue of and can highly recommend. So that's that. And now we can move to our next choice, which we've got a clip from Drew again. Or actually, a first clip from Drew.
Hello, this is Drew Woodworth from the Kill Your Comics podcast with my first pick of the month. It's called Pood Number 1. It's on page 248, and it's published by Big If Comics. Basically what this is, it's an anthology similar to the Wednesday comics. It's in the same style. It's going to be like a full newspaper style. It's 8x11, so I don't think it's quite as big as Wednesday comics, but they're going with the same feel. And it says it's in the newspaper format, so I would assume it's probably not going to be stapled. Anyway, it's kind of an indie comics spin on that whole concept. Runs the gamut of all the different genres. You got some sci-fi, fantasy, humor, western. Some of the creators are Jim Rugg, Joe Infernari, Sarah Edward Corbett. It's just kind of a crazy thing. It's $4, so you might check it out if you think that sounds kind of cool. It's probably going to be a little more experimental than the Wednesday comics was, but that's probably part of the appeal if you're into that kind of thing. So like I said, it's a Pood number one, Big If Comics on page 248.
Okay, next up, we've got another clip from Trevor. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman for my last entry in the preview spotlight. You will go to page 260 in the latter half of the main previews catalog from Boom Studios, The Calling, Cthulhu Chronicles number 1, written by Michael Allen Nelson and Joanna Stokes, and art by Christopher Ponsetti. This is a new ongoing series being brought out by Boom. A few years ago, they had the Cthulhu Tales anthology that went for 12 issues, and they had a series of 4-issue limited series having to do with the Fall of Cthulhu and various offshoots from that. This is written by the same author, and I can tell you he's done an excellent job of maintaining the creepiness and otherworldliness and horror that H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu is known for. And if it's anything like all of the Fall of Cthulhu stuff that he did previously, I will be very, very happy that Cthulhu is back. With that said, I want to thank you gentlemen for your great podcasts. They're very informative and very educational. I Cthulhu Fatang.
I don't read any of the Cthulhu stuff myself, but, you know, Boom's doing a good job with it, so cool.
Okay. I have in the past sampled the Cthulhu mythos, and Boom does do a very good job of it. And I believe Damien has also been a fan of the Cthulhu stuff down through the years. So they're a good guardian or custodian of the franchise.
Yeah. And speaking of Damien, we got another clip from him. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back with my last pick for the month, which is on page 276, which is Pat Lee's Widow Warriors. Now, this one really caught my eye first up when I saw it. It seemed to have the appeal of sort of like a Norse-type thing, but further reading into it, it's actually, you know, the warrior women of China going out to avenge the killed husbands on the battlefield to face sorcery and monsters and the demons with it. So this is something that really is going to be good, I reckon, on page 276. Grab it from Dynamite. Okay, back to the guys, and I'll see you next month.
And I'd like to thank Damien for once again contributing to our episodes. He's done that every month we've done these preview spotlights. And I always enjoy listening to what he recommends. Okay, next up, we've got another clip from Drew. Let's listen to that.
Hello, this is Drew Woodworth from the Killer Comics Podcast with my second pick of the month. It's called I Am Legion. It's a hardcover. It's published by Humanoids. It's on page 312. It's written by Fabian Nuri with art by John Cassidy. Basically, this has kind of a storied publishing history. It was originally published for the French comic book market, and they publish their comics typically in albums, which is like a 48-page book, and it was 3 albums worth of material. And then DC Comics started publishing. I think they published 1 or 2 issues of it, but then they stopped publishing it, and then Devil's Due took over, and they published all 3 albums worth of material in a 6-issue series. And they were supposed to have published a trade paperback. I don't believe it ever came out, although it is available on Amazon for $2,499. Or you can order it from Humanoids Inc., and it's a hardcover. It's the whole thing. and it's only $17.95. I believe it has a 50% discount on DCBS this month. But anyway, it's got John Casty art, so if you like his art, you might check it out just for that. Also, it's basically the story is it's set in World War II, and the Nazis are basically have a program called Legion that centers on a young Romanian girl who has the ability to possess bodies. And while this is going on, I believe the Allied forces are also trying to get a hold of this girl. I haven't actually read this series, but I'm going to purchase it based on the strength of, you know, that I like John Casty's art. And also, I mean, I've heard some things that maybe the story is a little dense and maybe a little, you know, hard to follow. But I think I've also heard that it reads better as a whole book. And so hopefully it'll make sense and I'll be able to follow it. But, you know, it's probably a dense read. So if that's not your thing, it might not be for you. But if you like John Casty's art, you might check it out. Or if this sounds like something that would be up your alley, you might check it out. I Am Legion, the hardcover. It's on page 312 by Humanoids, Inc.
I've actually seen some of the issues of it. I actually picked some of them, three of the issues of the series up in a 10-cent bin, actually, on Free Comic Book Day. Huge sale at one of the shops. You know, I think they had their dollar bin marked down to 10 cents for Free Comic Book Day. John Cassidy art. You're familiar with John. I mean, beautiful art. I haven't read any of the issues yet, but it is really nice looking series. So I'm looking forward to getting into it. And next up, we have got Time Bomb number one from Radical Comics. And this was in the Free Comic Book Day comic from Radical. One of the things that they were highlighting in there. I don't know that the Free Comic Book Day comic gave real good view of the flavor of this story, though. What this is about, and it's really great because it's Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray, and you know the art is by Paul Galassi. I do have an interview with Jimmy where we talk about this and some other things on the Friday episode, so I won't go too much into that for more behind the scenes on it, listen to the interview with Jimmy. But, you know, the kind of high level of this book is that we're in Germany in, well, kind of present day. I think it's a couple of years in the future. And they're doing some excavation and they uncover this device. And it's actually a bomb that has been there since Hitler's Germany. And it goes off releasing this germ agent. And within a short period of time, it kills most of the people on Earth. And they just, well, that's not a good thing. So there's actually a time machine that they have, and they send a group of people back in time. And I, you know, they're theoretically just going to send them back a month or a few weeks or whatever to before the bomb went off to stop people from accidentally setting this thing off and wiping out most of humanity. And it actually sends them back to Nazi Germany. So they weren't intending to go all the way back to Nazi Germany, so they're not ideally set up for that mission. So one of the things is there's like a black guy on the team, and you know that doesn't go over that well in Nazi Germany, as you might imagine. Doesn't blend in quite so well with the Nazis. So it's a you know kind of spy thriller action kind of thing, and art by Paul Galassi. Anyone who's familiar with Paul Galassi is, you know, knows this is going to be a treat. Beautiful art in it, up to Paul's standards. So I'm really looking forward to this, and it's in that nice. I know, John, you're not as big a fan of the square bound format, but you know, it's the big 48 page issues. We've got three-issue series with as much material as you'd normally find in a six-issue mini. Each issue is $4.99. It's got more than double the pages of story and art that you get in a $2.99 comic, so quite a good deal, in my opinion, from Radical.
I mean, I like the increased page count. I think that's a really good deal. I just don't like the actual square binding itself. They would stay with the saddle stitched with the staple and stuff, because it allows it to lay flat. And that way you can see what's in the gutter, two-page splashes work better, that kind of stuff. But that's just personal bias. Now, our next pick is a couple of pages later on 329, and that's Hotwire Deep Cut number 1, also from Radical, also with a 45% discount through DCBS. And this is a 32-page full-color comic for $3.50. And this is done by Steve Pugh, who's the creator, the writer, the illustrator. And, you know, I read the first issue of the first series thinking, I don't know if it'll be up my alley or not. And it completely won me over, and I really enjoyed that miniseries, and I'm really looking forward to this one. Pugh has a very cinematic visual style to his stuff in all of the right ways, and is really pushing the artistic boundary of what comics can do and just the visualization of stuff. Add to that, it's a really solid story with a really interesting lead character of Alice Hotwire, and kind of playing with the ideas of you know, essentially, you know, ghosts that don't go away, and you know, how you have to deal with them when they start causing trouble and stuff in a quasi-futuristic world or whatever. It's a good blend of the supernatural and the sci-fi. So it's something that I think a lot of people are not checking out that would really enjoy this, and I definitely recommend this. It's good for the story. It's good for the art. It's just good all the way around.
Now, people who didn't listen to it or, you know, when we did our 2009 wrap-up show, I think we had, using Hotwire first series as an example, Steve Pugh was our top artist of the year for 2009, as I recall.
And we interviewed him for the previous Hotwire series, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So if you go through the back episodes of the preview Spotlight Interviews episodes, you can get some more information on this, and it's worth checking out.
Yeah, even more impressive, you know, is, you know, he's doing really the full job on this. He's writing it, you know, based on, you know, the idea, you know, ideas from Warren Ellis, right? But he writes it, he draws it, he does the full painted color, he does the lettering. I mean, this is Steve Pugh start to finish in this. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful comic. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, should be good stuff. Okay, and we got one final clip to round us out for this month. Let's listen to that.
And for my final pick of the month from page 336... Icons, the DC and Wildstorm art of Jim Lee, the Previews exclusive hardcover. I'd like to think most people are familiar with Jim Lee. I'm a reasonably big Jim Lee fan, and initially I probably could have taken a pass on this art book. Not so much, though, after I read the Previews solicitation. Specifically, there is a brand new Legion of Superheroes comic story drawn by Jim Lee and written by Paul Levitz. It's his first Paul Levitz first story in years. I've never seen Jim Lee do Legion art before or seen him involved, so I'm all in on this. I'm a big Legion fanboy. It's easy sell. But Jim Lee is an artist himself. He does some great stuff. This is a nice book. It's 304 pages. It's 9.5 by 12, so it's a little bit oversized. It's got supposedly artwork pulled from his personal archives, including hundreds of full-color illustration sketches and pencils spanning his career, many of which never have been seen before. I like Jim Lee art. It gets me juiced for comics. I recommend you pick it up. Apparently there is some stuff that can only be found in this edition, this Previews exclusive. The Legion story, I don't know if it's ever going to be printed anywhere, so I'm all on for this. Now back to the guys.
And I am glad I listened to that clip, because I didn't read the part of it. I thought it was just an art book. I didn't notice the part that said there is an all-new original Legion story in there. So this illustrates John's point from earlier about why we like to have people send in clips to us.
Well, I mean, there are a couple of things I'll be on the fence on, and listening to somebody else say, hey, this is what I think or whatever, it's like, ooh, that's a good reason for me to pick it up or whatever. Or maybe it's not for me sometimes. But again, that's one that I'd been on the fence on, and that was just enough to kind of push me over towards, yeah, I should get that. So, yeah, I've had that on a couple of different items, you know, over the months. And, you know, again, that's the whole point of doing these episodes for me, is to essentially solicit input from other people as to what they're getting and why.
Yeah. As long as we're talking about art, I'm going to throw an extra one in. On page 361 from Hermes Press, we've got John Buscema, Michelangelo of comics. This is a retrospective of John Buscema's career that spanned, you know, decades and decades of work with hundreds of characters in comics. It's got his art covers, his work, 200 examples of his original art, and the writer Brian Peck interviews Buscema's colleagues and really tries to paint a full picture of him as an artist. And I've been a huge fan of John Buscema for a long time. I mean, classic work on Avengers, on Conan the Barbarian, just lots of things. And, you know, John always liked, I've seen other interviews with him where, you know, he loved Conan because he loved drawing like the realistic stuff and the horses and things like that, more so than the superheroes jumping around. But he did a beautiful job on the superheroes too. So anyone who missed that on page 361 of the catalog that's a big fan of John Buscema like I am, you might want to try picking that out. There's a soft cover for $40 and a deluxe hardcover for $60. And that brings us to the end of previews.
Yeah, how bad's your total looking this time around?
It's really bad.
I was gonna say, mine's higher than I was expecting. It's over $500. That's after discount and stuff, and I'm not getting many big ticket items. I know you tend to get some busts and statues and stuff, and that kicks yours way up.
Mine's $1,000 after discount, and that's, I think we were talking last night, you can make up the difference between John's list and mine in a couple of ways. The Randy Bowen busts, there's a 4-pack bust set of the Wrecking Crew from Marvel. As well as Dormammu, and you know, just the two of those is about $190 after discount. Then when we add in those Marvel and DC lead figures from Eagle Moss, that's another $80 after discount. The John Buscema book, and then just a variety of other hardcovers from Marvel, like Marvel Masterworks. There's a Tomb of Dracula Omnibus Volume 3, you know, things like that. That if I took out the high ticket items, I'd be pretty much right where you are, John. So, but you know, I get those extra things that just pump up my total. But if I had to, I mean, those are easy things that I could just not get, and I could still get, you know, all the regular comics.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we kind of point out how much we get is, I know not everyone's going to like everything we like or be able to afford what we can afford, whatever. But the point is, there's a ton of stuff that is worth getting, and no matter what your tastes are, there's got to be something in each month's previews catalog that you're just going to love. It's just a matter of finding it, and that's no small task. Again, there's tons of things, you know, in previews every month. So, you know, hopefully we're helping people get a sense of what's in there that's right for them and what they would enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I indulge myself and get stuff that I could never have afforded, you know, 20 years ago when my kids were little, you know, and all that. And I, you know, it just, I didn't get anywhere near this amount of stuff. So what really is interesting for anyone is, you know, you got to make those choices and you get, I mean, even for John and I mean, there are choices. I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't get that I'm like, you know, I could get that, but for me, it gets more to the point of, like, what can I physically manage to read in a given month of comics that I collect up, and I will get certain things or not get them just based on, you know what, I'm never going to get around to reading that, so I might as well not get it.
Yeah, that's actually starting to get towards a point for me where I may need to cut back, just because there's too many titles coming in each shipment that it's hard to keep up. But, I mean, a lot of it I enjoy, so I don't want to not get new titles because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that looks pretty good there, too. So.
And it's different ways of reading, too, because, you know, it's like for me, when I buy the hardcovers, when I go and I travel for my job, it's easy to take one of these hardcovers and throw it in my computer bag, or a couple of them. You know, I mean, a lot of times I'll throw one in my suitcase and one in my bag. I'll read one on the trip out and I'll read one on the trip back, just because they're a little sturdier and I can just put them in my bag and I don't have to worry about them getting all tweaked up like a soft cover, or, you know, just the individual issues, which are a little more of a hassle to be pulling out on a plane or something like that. So I get a lot of that stuff and I'll read it on a plane or in the airport. And, you know, the other stuff I blow lots of money on, like the busts and the figures, I just need to sit them on a shelf and admire them. I don't have to actually read them. So that's some money that I'm spending that doesn't take me any time particularly to enjoy, other than I glance over at it a lot of times. So,
yeah. Cool. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that'll do it for us this time.
Cool. And again, we've got an open submission policy. We love getting clips, so please send them in for next month. It's an open invitation. We do this every month. So when you see something in previews you want to recommend, kick us a clip. We appreciate it. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.